You're listening to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like civics and government, the law, anthropology, and archaeology. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by Arushi Saxena, the founder of the ECMINUTE Project, an initiative that promotes digital literacy and better forwarding behavior on WhatsApp and beyond. Arushi is also the product marketing manager for misinformation and civic integrity at Twitter, where she works on spreading awareness about platform features designed to minimize the spread of misinformation. And a note for you all, Arushi is speaking to us today as an active member of the Responsible Tech Movement and is not representing Twitter Inc. in any capacity.
Can we talk a little bit about the Responsible Tech Movement and how it's impacted the course of your work, but also sort of the work that you do within it?
The Responsible Tech Movement is this amazing community that has self-organized over the past couple years. And you've seen large organizations pop up. The one I've been most involved with is All Tech is Human, run by David Ryan Polgar. And it inspired me to pursue the graduate studies that I did. And then through that community, I found my current team. And so in many ways, my day job, evening job, master's work was all through finding this community online.
So what does responsible tech look like to the people active in this movement?
Responsible tech is a movement of people who may or may not be formally working in the tech sector. It's artists, professors of linguistics, philosophers, some people in tech, lawyers, business people, just anyone who cares about designing technology with ethics in mind, with many disciplines in mind. People who care about promoting better usage of technology, so like design, development, and deployment of technology in a more mindful and arguably slower manner. And within responsible tech, there's now these umbrellas that have developed and sub-verticals and sub-areas of exploration. Misinfo is one of them.
What are some of the other sub-areas?
Yeah, the other sub-areas is like AI, ethical AI, and ethical machine learning. There is digital rights and data rights. So how do you use data more responsibly? There is social media and mental health, addiction and anxieties, online privacy.
You were talking about as far as like ethical AI, ethical approaches to these sort of digital technologies. So you're looking to have what, everybody weigh in on this? People that are in the corporate sector, people in academia, people that might even be just the code developers. Who's the segment of the actors that you're trying to encourage to think about things in these sort of ethical and maybe even moral terms?
Yeah, I think the actors who are targeting is people just in power who influence either directly or indirectly what technology is launched. But the way we do it is we have people from all sorts of backgrounds who we want to convene who can call out or flag, hey, that's actually really bad for the environment, or that's really bad for this community because of ABC. And then the people in power will listen to that and put that on their product development document, their roadmap. Oh, we spoke to people who are experts in this kind of city policy, because apparently if Uber is going to be deployed here, then this facet of city life could be affected this way, we want to connect the people developing technology with people in the world who have another expertise.
Do you think that that kind of approach, though, will have an efficacy?
I think it's the spirit of this conversation that really matters. People who build technology, how do you get them to think about the risks and harms? How do you get them to think outside the box? So it's more the principle of getting people to think and not just move fast and break things, which was the original ethos of tech and something many of us are familiar with. We should just think slow and think outside the box. Now that's the spirit of responsible tech.
And very intersectionally, it sounds like. From what you said, not just the mentors or the people that you worked with on the way to where you are now, but your current team is all drawn from the responsible tech community. So it sounds like there's an element of people finding each other to do the work and being able to have a voice both from within and without the company walls.
Yeah, exactly. Many of us are affiliated with companies, but many of us aren't, or we used our free time to hear perspectives that are likely often against the companies we work for.
This is something that I think is crucial. I mean, you're working obviously not just on your own. So when you say these people, can you give an idea of the group that you're working with or the people in your community in terms of the tech responsibility and the ECMNET project?
It's what's nice to say is actually the group of people are different for different projects. It's a very diverse group. So for the 8-Minute Project, I'm working with my friend, Akshay Marathe, who is a former political spokesperson in India for a major political party in India. I'm working with video developers in India and in the US. With some of the projects I've worked on for All Tech is Human, we have these group of 35 to 50 people who'd convene biweekly from different states and different professions, all building this online guide called the Guide to Responsible Tech. And you can actually find it on responsibletechguide.com. We had people who were child psychology experts. We had people who work in healthcare. It was people whose day jobs you wouldn't necessarily think translates into thinking about this, but we were all like convening on Google Meet, you know, every few weeks. Yeah.
And what came out of those discussions?
So what came out of those discussions was these kind of large documents that we put together for the public that informed them about what the responsible tech community is, what it does, how to get involved. And that's an example of some of the output that has come out, which just tries to get people bought into the cause. But also there's so many people who are bought in and don't really know where to start. And so it's a guide for them to how to get involved and make your dent.
And what would you like to see come out of that kind of involvement?
I hope that responsible tech, the community, isn't like its own insular thing. I hope that everyone becomes a responsible technologist, anyone who has anything to do with. Like, I hope responsible tech, just everyone's part of the community, you know? That's my end vision.
Well, but, you know, I think it seems to me that at least in the arena of misinformation, everybody's sort of going around thinking it's somebody else's problem, that the tech people will have to fix it, or it's somebody else's problem to fix it, or it's out of our hands, or we're powerless, right? Unless Twitter does something, you know, we'll be stuck with this forever. And it sounds like with the responsible tech, you know, especially giving people sort of bite-sized chunks of here's how to get started, part of the message is that we all have the power to influence these domains, maybe?
Yes, without shirking responsibility, because I agree, like these platforms do have a huge role to play. But yes, we as everyday citizens also have to become more aware of what we're consuming and ask the why and the how and the what. I really do think that.
You don't think that's too much to ask of the general populace?
So I think that's your decision, right? That's our decision. If we don't pay attention to it, it's going to come and hurt us like it has in the past, right? But I think it'll still take probably a generation or two till we're at my ideal end vision. I don't think it's like a 5-year game. It's a long game.
And teaching the young people what this looks like and even just basics of fact-checking or identifying misinformation or disinformation.
There are the things that we can do as individuals. And I know we can talk about a different social media company because a lot of their dirty laundry has been coming out. One of the things that came out was that they were working with all these AI or machine learning systems that were not effective in capturing the sources of the misinformation that was being spread. And so I guess what I'm kind of hoping for is a peek behind the curtain on what sort of larger scale tools social media companies might have for tracking the movement of misinformation or being able to sort of identify sources.
So what you're getting at is this concept of coordinated inauthentic behavior, which has to do with bots that are automatically pushing out things at a certain rate. And between 2016 and now, I want to say that most of these companies have developed the means to identify them and thwart them, at least the automated activity, before it spreads. There's also like good bots though. Like Twitter just released this campaign around good bots. Not all bots are bad. There are good bots out there doing really helpful things too. I think it's just keeping up to date on patterns and trends and noticing, like I said, the speed at which information is going in and out of certain networks and trying to see where those leaks are and are they happening really quickly, like unnaturally quickly, faster than a human could spread something. And is it happening between like humans that don't really like follow each other or generally interact with one another?
Do you all actually have these tools to sort of visualize these kinds of things?
It's such a big company and we work cross-functionally, but I don't touch anything that's machine learning related. But there are really cool companies out there that work with social media companies like Graphica. And Graphica does that kind of analysis and visualization and pattern detection. And I know that a lot of these big companies tend to work with neutral or third-party specialists.
You talked about a leak. What does that mean?
That is a term that I picked up during grad school when reading papers about how to mathematically detect and visualize the spread of misinfo. But the whole point of network modeling is that you show these networks that are like clusters and nodes. And let's say you have a green cluster of loosely connected people, then you have another blue cluster. If you see like one piece of information spreading from the green cluster to the blue cluster, and those clusters don't usually talk, then machines might start paying attention. So that's what like a leak could be. But that is my own terminology in trying to explain in the lay way.
In a sense, what you're suggesting is that under normal human-to-human interactions, that wouldn't be happening necessarily if it were pegged to a piece of misinformation or disinformation or whatever.
You talked about how we've been stewing in misinformation for centuries, right? But how applicable are previous studies or previous approaches to handling the spread of misinformation to the work that you and other people in the responsible tech movement are doing now? Because it seems like there's a difference in scale and there's a difference in actors.
You almost answered a lot of it. I will say what has stayed the same is the human psychology of why people fall victim and how they fall victim to it. And the principles of persuasion underlying it are still the same. Maybe we know it better and we've coined fancy terms around it, like these heuristics, these data voids. But yeah, the speed and the scale has changed thanks to the development of technology. Before, you were handing out manuals in a public square. Now you just go on Twitter or Facebook or TikTok and reach millions of people.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse, yes.
Arushi, thank you again for talking about all this with us today. We appreciate your time more than you know.
It's been a pleasure, absolute pleasure meeting you too and chatting about these topics. And one day maybe we'll have solved it all.
See, that's the optimism we like to hear. That's right. We're going to solve it all. And if you would like more information about Arushi's efforts in regards to digital literacy and spreading awareness about misinformation and disinformation, you can visit ekminuteproject.com. That's ekminuteproject.com. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.